As we stand, let's pray. Lord Jesus, risen and ascended, stand among us now. Open our eyes and hearts by your Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. You've probably heard the old adage of journalism that only bad news is good news. Well, the Bible disagrees. In fact, the first four books in the New Testament section of the Bible are called Gospels. And this word, Gospel, is in Greek, euangelion, which means literally good message, good news. In our first reading, we encounter it twice. And I wonder whether we could leave our news sheets open so we can follow through the reading from Romans, which is printed there inside the Perusia news sheet on page 2. This is the beginning of Paul's letter to the church in Rome, a letter which some theologians have called the Himalayas of the Bible, because it is such a breathtaking view of the gospel. It sets out what is the good news so clearly. And in just these 5 verses, we learn so much about what the good news is. Verse 1, Paul says that he has been set apart for this gospel. Because you see, Paul didn't apply to it to be a missionary for the Christian church. Quite the contrary. He thought that those who followed Jesus needed to be fought and rooted out, until God intervened, threw him off his high horse outside Damascus. Jesus, the risen Lord, appeared to him, asking, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" Paul was called, he was set apart for the gospel. Note also in verse 1 that this isn't anyone's good news. No, this is, as Paul says, the gospel of God. It comes right from the top. It's not made up by people. Recently, I listened on YouTube to an interview with a German children's TV presenter who was very popular in the 1980s. I loved his programs. At the end of his programs, I always remember he said, "And now, children, you've watched enough TV, turn it off. Turn it off. You're still watching. Turn it off." The interviewer, he was now in retirement when he was interviewed, and the interviewer asked him why he joined a particular sect of Indian guru Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh in the 1980s. And this is what he said: "Because of his message. You are all gods. The difference between you and me is that I know it already, and you don't know yet." He clearly thought that was good news, but it certainly wasn't good news from the true God of heaven and earth. Verse 2, Paul says, this good news is not new. It was promised from long ago, all through the Bible. Jesus doesn't land out of the blue like a UFO. His coming has been announced through prophets and then by John the Baptist. From the beginning, God had a plan to bring good news. Verse 3, this gospel is concerning his son. The gospel is all about Jesus. It seems so obvious, but it's crucial. We're called by his name, Christians, because we follow Jesus Christ. Some people only know his name as a swear word today. A little boy asked his teacher, who had just told her class the nativity story, why Mary and Joseph gave their baby boy a swear word as a name. True story. It's curious that we're sometimes quite happy to say that we are religious or spiritual, that we go to church, or even that we are a member of a church. But do we speak about Jesus? That we are his disciples. I wonder what would people think if I said, "Oh, do you want to know? I am partaking of the institution of marriage," rather than, Let me tell you about my beautiful wife. By the way, if we're worried that people would look at us as if we were a bit weird when we say that we believe in Jesus, Jesus is a lot more popular these days than the church. So it's probably safe to talk about Jesus. We're still in verse 3, if you followed our reading, where Paul explains that this Jesus is fully man. He says he's descended from King David and fully God, which was shown beyond doubt in his resurrection from the dead. He wasn't a half man and half God, sometimes doing human things and sometimes doing godly things. He fully entered into our human condition, giving up his glory, showing us what true humanity should look like. But he's also fully God, showing us what God the Father is like, the only one who has risen from the dead, never to die again. John Chapman says in his book, Know and Tell the Gospel, from which, by the way, I have borrowed the title for this series, no true gospel can bypass the death and resurrection of Jesus. He died to take the punishment which our sins deserved. He shows that he has defeated death and the power of darkness. He has defeated his great enemy and ours. He who was is he who is. The Jesus you and I meet in the pages of the Bible is the same Jesus we meet today. Jesus is the gospel we preach. It's so simple, but so powerful. What is the gospel? The gospel is a person. Jesus, fully man and fully God. And then, turning to the end of verse 4 and into verse 5, Paul calls him the Lord. And the only appropriate response to the Lord is obedience, to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles, for the sake of his name. The shortest summary of our faith and one of the earliest creeds of the church is simply this: Jesus Christ is Lord. That has always been an explosive statement, because that means the Roman Emperor Caesar is not Lord, and it got the early Christians into serious trouble. That means I am not Lord. No, Jesus is in charge. And one day, as Philippians says, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You cannot receive Jesus as your Savior, as your helper, as your healer, as your friend, without also bowing down to him as your Lord. Some years ago, Edda and I became British citizens, and it was very exciting, and we had a special citizenship ceremony. But what I realized then is, you cannot become a British citizen without also becoming a British subject. You can't. You have to swear allegiance to the sovereign. It's part of the deal. I'm sure you would find it ludicrous if I said, well, look, I want all the benefits of being British, I want the passport and all the rest of it, but I'm not prepared to swear allegiance to Her Majesty. You'd say you're out of your mind. The two things go together. We can't become a Christian without pledging allegiance to Jesus as Lord. We can't separate Jesus the Savior from Jesus the Lord. So how is that good news? Well, we began by saying that God disagrees with the statement, only bad news is good news. However, before we can receive the good news, we must indeed face the bad news. In her book, Out of the Salt Shaker, Becky Pippert, who led the Rethink launch a week ago, tells the story of how she got into a conversation with someone on an airplane. She was chatting to this man, and it turned out he once was a successful racing driver. But after a near-fatal accident, his life fell apart. Everything that made him who he was had been taken away from him. He became an alcoholic, his relationships disintegrated, he crashed his car so badly that his doctor said he was never going to walk again. And that's when he knew he'd come to the end of the road. He started to sort himself out. He started to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you've ever looked at the 12-step program, the first step is acknowledging that I have a problem. He started getting better. His legs amazingly healed. He was in recovery, but he had so many regrets. Becky said to him, "Rick, I'm in recovery too." That surprised him. "Oh, right. Do you go to AA as well?" "I'm in recovery from sin, Rick. The only thing that separates people is their symptoms, but all of us suffer from the underlying disease of sin. The core of sin is not so much a set of behaviors as it is having a God complex," Becky continued. "You could never drink a drop of alcohol again, Rick, and still be determined to run your own life, rather than let God be in charge. Sin is choosing to be self-ruled instead of God-ruled." That was the problem of the rich young man in our gospel reading. He couldn't give it all up and follow Jesus. He couldn't bow down and relinquish his whole life to Jesus. And he walked away sadly. You see, we all need Jesus. We all have a God complex. In his famous book, The Three Christs of Ypsilanti, psychiatrist Milton Rokeach describes patients with a God complex. One of them would say, "I am the Messiah." "How do you know?" Rokeach asked. "Because God told me," came the answer. Immediately another patient responded, "I told you no such thing." We have a God complex too. We want to be in charge ourselves. Martin Luther says, "We carry the nails in our pockets that nailed Jesus to the cross." But when we recognize Jesus as Savior and Lord and surrender our lives to him, our God complex is healed. More and more we become the people who God made us to be. In a couple of weeks' time, Merrick Beebe will be our guest preacher, and I remember vividly how he first told me his story of faith. How he came to faith in midlife, how his eyes were opened to the reality of Jesus and who he truly is. Before he became a Christian, Merrick was a successful businessman. He had a lovely family, a nice house, everything you could wish for. When he became a Christian, he said, "Why has no one ever told me this good news before? Why have I lost so many years?" A failed racing driver and alcoholic, a successful businessman. Both needed to face the bad news of their God complex before they could receive the good news. You can sit in church your whole life and miss it. You and I can be the rich young ruler. I find it intriguing how the messed up people, the broken people, the pariahs were drawn to Jesus. They knew they had a problem. Their God complex had already been shattered, and they instinctively knew that this Jesus, who welcomed them in spite of who they were, was good news. He was different. He called them by name. Zacchaeus, come down from your tree. I must come to your house today. Jesus still calls us by name. He calls you by name. Will we face the bad news so we can receive him who is good news? The God who has created this world calls you by name. The God who is in charge of the cosmos gives his life for you so you can truly become who you were meant to be. That is truly good news. If you haven't yet seen the BBC program, The Debt Saviors, on the work of Christians Against Poverty, I would encourage you to try to watch it on iPlayer, to see how someone is not only freed from the burden of debt, but visibly transformed by the grace, love, forgiveness, hope, and purpose that Jesus brings is beautiful. How could we not share this good news? How could we keep it to ourselves? Why has no one ever told me this good news before? Why have I lost so many years? Lord Jesus Christ, reveal to us who you truly are. And may we then bow down and confess that you are Lord. Amen.